As the venerable Kenny Rogers once said, you've got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. And maybe it's time to get on those running shoes, my friends. Well, hello! Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, we are talking about when to hold them, when to throw them in the trash and move on already, and getting there in a sane manner. Yes, my guest today is an expert in this realm. Please welcome Ethan Plotkin, CEO of GDCA to Fish Fry. Ethan and I are chatting about how we can reimagine our product life cycles and the future of the O word. That's right, obsolescence. All right, let's go. Thank you so much for joining me, Ethan.
Thank you, Amelia.
Okay, so first off, give my audience an update on what exactly GDCA is all about.
Well, GDCA is a California company, and it stands for Great Designs Continued Always. And basically what we do is we manufacture discontinued commercial off-the-shelf embedded computing cards. Put succinctly, we help board OEMs deal with ongoing demand for old designs that they can't make money supporting.
Okay, cool. So we are talking about how we can reimagine our product life cycles and the future of obsolescence. Now, at your presentation at the Embedded Tech Trends show this year, you said obsolescence is like putting air in a leaky tire. Now, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I think what I meant by that is that a lot of times board OEMs don't understand that they cannot make money supporting old designs, meaning that they are really better off kind of partnering with a third party to take over that ongoing demand for these low volume and sporadic designs. However, a lot of them really choose to do it in-house. And I think it's natural because a lot of these companies are really engineering driven, and engineers by a mindset have a really can-do mindset. Unfortunately, what happens is that as customers continue to need these old designs, they need to divert engineering resources from new product introduction, which is really their future, to maintaining and sustaining these old designs. So as a result, it really is like putting air in a leaky tire instead of dealing with the hole in the first place.
Okay, so you recently wrote a blog called The True Cost of Ad Hoc Sustainment Strategy. Now, I would imagine there are a lot of dangers and delays with ad hoc old design requests.
Exactly. And I think this is actually our sweet spot at GDCA, is helping board OEMs deal with these ad hoc, unplannable and unforeseeable ongoing requests. And they're drip, drip, drip of product requests, could be repairs, could be spares. When board OEMs go and try to respond to these ad hoc requests, there are a lot of unplanned activities that they need to undertake in order to do the work. For example, for them, their whole organization is set up to go out and procure electronic components on the marketplace. And for the most part, these are active components, and it's a pretty straightforward activity. But for old designs, there's a lot of product obsolescence. So as a result, you end up having like procurement teams spending 6 to 8 weeks or more just trying to get one little component to fulfill a delivery order. All the while, the customer is getting more nervous and more nervous as, where is my card? Where is my card? Mm-hmm. So I think that would be one really good example of the hidden costs of dealing with these ad hoc requests.
Okay, so one of the other things you mentioned at ETT this year is about how we need to change the minds of our embedded system designers about their COTS boards and when they've been discontinued, when those EOL notices have been sent out. Now, Ethan, how exactly do we go about doing that?
I mean, I think that's really the million-dollar question, Amelia. You know, as I mentioned earlier, engineers really are drivers of these companies largely. And when they look at these cards, they can do. right? You know, it is a programmed response. Ask an engineer to solve a problem and they jump into solving the problem. The first question they don't ask themselves, but they maybe should, is should I be solving this problem or not? And so I think that in order for us to change the minds of the people who are making decisions on whether to support these old designs or not, first off, it certainly involves making a cost-benefit analysis and a business case. And I think it needs to be a holistic approach to doing that. And that is really the biggest challenge, is helping board OEMs see things in a holistic way. Because the reality is that most people don't see things in a holistic way because the C-level buy-in that is required for people to make the changes, small changes, albeit across the entire organization, is just kind of too hard to get that kind of level of buy-in. So that's really the big challenge, is to people kind of stay in their swim lanes, and rightly so. Most successful people I know, they are all about influencing the things they can, but not at the expense of their objectives. So it really takes kind of a more C-level or cross-department person who has that view to say, hey, look, this is drawing blood from everybody. Collectively, it's drawing gallons of blood. We have got to do something about this.
Okay, Ethan, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Uh-oh. I know I haven't asked you this question before, so you have one more meal on the planet Earth. That's it. One meal. No more for you for the rest of your life. What would it be?
It has got to be a roast beef and pepper jack sandwich on sliced sourdough.
Awesome.
From Luca Delicatessen in San Francisco's Marina District. It is great. And since I've gone low carb, I just can't eat sandwiches anymore.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but I'm in it, man. If it's the last one, and I'm going to have the potato salad, which is something special.
Sweet. And I have to go there. Well, Ethan, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Amelia. Right back at you. A great time.
So in this week's Fish Fry, we're in reimagination mode. And while we're at it, how about we reimagine robotics? I know, aren't we always reimagining robotics on this show? And yes, that is true. And I guess this week's news you may have missed is no exception. So let me introduce you to a variable stiffness, tendril-like soft robot based on reversible osmotic actuation. Or an easier non-nerdy vernacular, a robot that can climb like a vine. Yep. A team from ITT Istituto Italiano di Tecnologia, led by Barbara Mazzoli, have developed a robot that moves like plant tendrils. And as it moves, it can climb and curl around objects in its path. So, the goods inside these robotic tendrils are pretty interesting. Powered by a 1.3-volt battery, this robot's movement is actually based on the real movement of plant tendrils, with the addition of a hydraulic system. Now, in non-robotic plant tendrils, intracellular fluid full of small particles allows for them to flex and move and curl, etc. In their robotic counterparts, it's ions that actually help it move. So these ions are contained within a fluid that fills the robots. And when the power to the robot is turned on, these ions are drawn down to the bottom of the tendril where flexible electrodes have been built into the structure, which causes the robotic tendril to contract. When the power is turned off, the fluid moves back into place and the tendril releases again. No, we're not looking at a Little Shop of Horrors vine here. No, this proof of concept design is only about 1 millimeter in diameter. Phew. And get this, other projects by this team include the Plantoid Project, which is a fully sensor-equipped robotic tree, and something called Growbot, which is another kind of plant-based robot, which can sense its surroundings, change its growth and movements accordingly, and might even be able to recognize the surface it's clinging to, eventually. What? Be right back. Gonna go learn Italian right now. Okay, so I know I don't need to say this, but This is super cool, right? So if you want more information about this robotic tendril research, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. So maybe you're still the one that keeps that one design alive from the decade I was born. Yeah, go ahead and guess which one that is. So maybe we should talk about your plan for obsolescence. And maybe putting that bad boy out to pasture. Or maybe you're an industrial control logic designer and you feel like your technology hasn't gotten past the days of bell bottoms and 8-track tapes. Oh shoot, is this dating me? It could be. Anyway, contrary to what most of us believe, industrial control logic designers don't have to be stuck with 1970s technology. There's a whole new world of exciting components and capabilities available for industrial control design. And innovation is moving at a rapid pace here. In a brand new episode of Chalk Talk entitled Logic Innovations for the Industrial Control Space, I sit down with Tom Wolf of Nexperia and chat about the latest advances in industrial control logic components and how we can all take advantage of them in our next designs. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. Can't miss it, right across the top. Or by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, or by simply clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, our Twitter handle is EEJournalTFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 8th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.